All right, welcome to episode 3 of the Town of Hilton Head Island podcast. We are missing one of our faithful crew, but you know, business takes advantage of these things. There are meetings, there's important things going on in the town. Luckily, we have still Steve Wilmot from the RBC Heritage here to help us try to get through these tough times. Mark, you're going to have to lift, you know, some of the heavy lifting today. For us. I appreciate it.
Tough times, good times.
Exactly. Sure. Well, I determined we have Steve here for the Heritage, and, you know, my problem is I don't have a plaid tie, so I needed to be prepared for this, and I wasn't, and I'd like to apologize. So.
I'll make note of that.
If you can make note and try to fix that for next time we do this. So. I mean, Steve, this is, you know, let's talk about your accolades first. The longest standing tournament director still in PGA Tour history, or at least right now.
Yes, this would be my 38th tournament, but, you know, I don't talk years anymore. It's been a little over 30 pounds, but that's another story. But, yes, I'm considered one of the old-timers,
one of the
I guess.
OGs, they call that.
Yeah. It's, I guess, somewhat of an elder statement. I got to be careful. But I've been around, and I'm fortunate and blessed every day.
56th tournament now for the RBC Heritage. Amazing that you think it's gone this long and that you've been involved that long?
Absolutely. You know, I think back, I mean, a lot has certainly changed, but, you know, you sit here and talk about accolades for me. I mean, I'm here because of us and because of this community. And, you know, to think where we were, where we've been and having some hiccups, but we've survived and we're here and now we're stronger than ever. And we're, you know, been awarded recently the status of the new status of a signature event, and that's a compliment to everybody, and it's great to be a part of something like that.
Mark, do you remember your first Heritage?
I do. I was thinking about it as you were talking. I moved here in 1997, and I moved here in June of 1997, and so I moved here what, 2 months, month and a half after the 1997 tournament, and I was out of town for one, but all but one of the tournaments, I've been at every single one of them. So it's been a lot of years, big part of my life and my family's mm-hmm. life. So.
Well, it's interesting, just since we talk community and things too, I started work August 20th, 1986, but I was hired when C-Pines was in bankruptcy. So I'm sitting there thinking I'd be here 10 months, and it's been 39 years, 38th yeah. tournament. But then that first tournament was a gentleman by the name of David Slove's first win on the PGA Tour, and he's gone on to win 5 and become a great friend, and actually was here yesterday and today, you know, up here doing a few things, and you know, so he's in the Hall of Fame, and I'm still doing my thing, so I don't know what that means, but it's all good.
Yeah. He still believes he's got a shot every year.
And I can tell you something that happened last year, and you know, his wife Robin, when they were leaving the island Saturday of last year, he unfortunately missed the cut. Had played almost 40 years here. They were emotional because they realized that with knowing our new status and things, that there wouldn't be really a possibility of playing. And this place has meant so much to he and his family, and they've grown up here. And that's, I consider him a very close friend and a great, great guy, great ambassador to the game. And certainly a great spokesperson for us as well.
Well, talk to us about that tournament and a little bit in that status and what that means. Last year, you know, you sort of got into it. This year, though, it's 70 to 80 players, but basically almost all of the top 50 will be here.
Yes, and what's interesting, and maybe going back to even last year, prior to last year, we've been traditionally an invitational, limited field, 132 players, and because of our designation last year of an elevated event, it was kind of too late to move some things, mm-hmm. so we had to expand the field, and we had 150 players. Now, it doesn't seem like a lot, but when you think about 18 more players, you're talking about 18 more courtesy cars and 18 more caddies and 18 more families and kind of go on and on and on. But this year, being the signature event, limited field, we'd have somewhere between 74 and 76 players. It's still yet to be determined, and actually won't be determined until the Monday after the Masters because of some formulas. But it's going to be the strongest field we've ever had. A different vibe and feel, but an exciting one too because of the numbers that will be out there.
Yeah, and Mark, you really saw the difference last year. I know the town did in the players that we got here and the number of people that came out from out of town, especially because of the status.
Right. There seemed to be just this reset, this revamp of energy and people for some reason last year. So I'm on the edge of my chair waiting for this year's. But, yeah, the island was, I think, by no means do I have data that supports that, but the island was just thriving last year during Heritage. So.
Yes, and one thing, I mentioned something to Mark last week, but I did yesterday in a chamber meeting too. I, I've recently, because in going down there and riding the course each evening, usually, you know, I have one of those I we moments in the fact that, you know, I'm out there and I'm seeing the greenery doing work, working with Palmetto Electric and working with Hargray, and seeing Sea Pines working with, you know, whether it's our tent and bleacher company, but then again, knowing that the concession structures are for surge, and we have hospitality that are being built for all of our great partners here, and working extremely close with the town. The relationship with the town has always been tremendous, but it's even better now than ever. And you know, it's about us. It's not about me or we. It's truly about us. And we're very fortunate to be a part of something so special.
Yeah, I mean, that's what means so much to the town, I know, too.
Absolutely. What a tremendous, I call it a reunion, right? It's just you look forward to family and friends coming, and around the corner is Easter. But every year, this RBC Heritage Tournament brings people back and helps us realize spring's here and that we're ready to celebrate. So,
well, one thing with Mark and his support, but you know, the mayor as well as in town, is it's you know, sometimes you maybe have to take things for granted. At times we don't. We realize we have something pretty special, and how can we get better? You know, how do we do better so we can, you know, be better? And that's where the reset kind of comes to every year. It's okay, yeah, we've done it a way, whether somehow outside of the resort or inside the resort, and we might have did it right 5 years ago or last year, but doesn't mean we have to do it this year. You know, how do we do things better? How do we need to do it? Is there something else we can do? So we continue to learn each and every day as well.
Well, I love the vibe of Harbortown, obviously, compared to the Masters. I always look at that, and the Masters is so sort of stuffy and specific about golf, yet you've even called the Heritage itself adult spring break.
Well, we used to talk about that, and it's certainly more of a, it is a family atmosphere. You know, we were going down that, you know, path a few years ago, and I have no problem in saying that. Mm-hmm. But you know, this is, we're a unique resort here, and it's not nothing about some of my counterparts and maybe something that happened exactly 8 weeks ago at the PGA Tour. We don't want that.
No,
and
right,
we want this to be something that we as a community are proud of, but we have so many people around the world that will be visiting, let alone viewing, that we want to make sure that they realize that the, you know, it's something special we want to be a part of.
Well, that's even the change from last year when you got even the better players and you started to get more true golf fans who came out not just to come enjoy Hilton Head, but more than that, it was to come watch the actual golf.
Yes, and that's the thing, too. I think, you know, we have a very golf-educated community, too. I mean, we are the week after the premier event in golf, if not all the sports, Augusta, but we've wrapped our arms around that, being after the Masters. And you know, the interesting thing that you don't think about, one of the big selling points for us, we have no control over, is what CBS does, the broadcast. And somebody recently, within the last 6 months, asked myself how much we paid Jim Nantz. And we don't. He loves it down here. And ironically, we have him on video saying his favorite 3 hours at Augusta is to drive to Hilton Head. And I can see where that is. And that's why the broadcast, I think, is even more special, because, you know, they're doing March Madness, all those basketball games, and they do 56 minutes of every hour at Augusta. And here's kind of a, oh, okay. And you see the guys down in Harbortown or going to the restaurants, and they're not able to do that in a lot of places. So it's we are all a part of something pretty special and very unique on the PGA Tour.
And that always stood out to me, too. Just even as a younger guy, I'd be at the gym. I always remember Breakthrough Fitness and all the top players. I always remember Justin Leonard and Jim Furyk. They're just out and about on our island. They're at the restaurants. They're at the gyms. They're living that week. You know, while they're not playing, they're living how we live all year round. And pretty exciting, pretty interesting.
It's interesting you say that about some of the players. I recently, back in the fall, I ran into Paul Azinger, and then recently I just ran into Brad Faxon. So two of the old timers, mm-hmm, and both of them asked, is Greg Russell still playing?
Oh, yeah.
So it's you think that a lot of these families, the players have come through here, that their kids have grown up here, and we have a volunteer daycare program for the kids that is second to none on the PGA Tour, and they bring their kids here, and we do dolphin cruises, and we do all these things for them. And then, you know, the families get to enjoy the tournament if they wish, or they can go to the beach and the restaurants and other things. So it's,
I think that's what makes you so special in RBC Heritage so special. It was fascinating for me to, you know, peek behind the scenes a little bit and see what goes into the tournament. And it's not just golf. It's how you are being, you know, providing hospitality to the families, to the kids, to the caddies. I know that you've done some above and beyond things with and for the caddies that not every tournament does. So just hats off to you. You take care of the entire 360 mm-hmm. degrees of people that are here.
Well, thank you. But do you know this community takes care of them.
Right.
And that's what's special because, you know, these players, let alone the sponsors, the majority of our sponsors or partners are coming from out of state or out of country or out of, so they're flying in, they're getting rental cars, they're renting hotels, villas, homes, they're going to our restaurants, or they're playing golf. And so everybody's a part of the success of this event. And that's how RBC feels. They feel so welcome here. They were so excited last year. They wished this happened elsewhere, but of how the town worked on some of the intersections and beautification and all little things like that is a big deal. I'm getting chill bumps thinking about it, you know, and that's the thing that the community rallies around. I mean, to ride the golf course and seeing the landscapers down there at the houses being painted, all these things, it's because of something that's happening in April, and everybody's like, hey, if we're going to do it, let's do it.
I think
right.
That's where the term spring cleaning came from. It originated here.
Exactly.
So. Well, and that's so interesting from where we came from, because it wasn't, you know, close to two decades ago when you're looking for a sponsor, you're trying to put this all together, and there's talk that the RBC Heritage, or then just the Heritage, wouldn't necessarily survive that long, but you really worked so hard to keep it here and bring those sponsors back and make it and put it to this point.
Well, it's a lot tough. We were in a pretty dire straits, and people, even after that last putt in 2011, we really didn't know what 12 was going to look like. And there were some ultimatums that were put on the foundation from the PGA Tour of, okay, you know, we don't have a sponsor, you don't have, what are you going to do, who's going to do some things. And to get us through 11, you know, the town stepped in a way with a grant, and the county stepped in with a loan, and the foundation through the hard work of Joe Frazier and Angus Scott and Deep Deloach and John Curry from yesteryear, were able to, the reserves to get us to a point where, okay, we're back up and running in 12, and now to think that we're a signature event and one of the premier events on the PGA Tour is pretty amazing. But that's everybody jumping in. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's even Columbia jumping in, and the state now realizing the importance of this tournament to not just us here locally, but certainly South Carolina.
Well, that's credit to Harbortown, the course, because these players who come every year love that course and just want to come out and play it.
Yeah, it's a shopmaker's golf course. You know, a lot of these tournaments now, I'm more about outside the ropes than inside the ropes for sure, but it's something different than a lot of these. You know, they're playing it, it's grip it and rip it, and you hit it as far as you can. Here you can't. And even the likes of the Davis Loves, who are considered long hitters, and some of these guys that have played recently, they have to scale it back. They can't go out there thinking they're going to. So that's why we've had the best and best, you know, when you look at our list of past champions or defending champions or pretty good, decent players and pretty good stuff. So,
how many shots do you get to see during RBC Heritage Week?
Really none. I mean, and honestly, it's funny you say that, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. But it's amazing how many people say, who's leading?
Like, right.
But that's okay. And it's
did you see the playoff last year?
Well, was there one? Yeah, but it's you know, I have also I'm here as my team. Our team is out there working hard, and incredible operations staff. And the reason that you'll see the biggest bill we ever had, because, and that's Morgan Hyde and Andy running with that, is because Derek from our sales side did an outstanding job. And when I say big as you'll see, it's also out of respect for everybody here in this community, whether a volunteer or a spectator too, is we're limited what we can do. You know, we also want that experience of a signature event to lead into a signature experience too. So we're sensitive about parking. We're sensitive about security lines and concession lines, restroom lines and all too. So something that the team's done an incredible job with over the years is, if you remember back in 2019, that Saturday of 2019. Now, going back, we couldn't have gotten another person out on the golf course, and that wasn't a good thing. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, unfortunately, 20 happened with COVID, and of course, no spectators, mm-hmm. and then 21 limited. So when we say sellout, and we, like last year, it's a number between 19 and 21. We've managed it so that it, when we talk sellout, we could have sold more tickets last year, but it wouldn't have been a good experience for our guests, our spectators, our volunteers, and all. But one thing we've done with the build-out is out of respect for those ticket purchasers, not just our sponsors and partners, but we have brand-new tees. Scott, you saw the bleachers
behind one, so you can watch the...
I was going to ask you what the new things are. The bleachers are the start.
Well, one, two, four, five... six, and then we have bleachers back on 17, and you know there we're not selling more tickets, we're just having more viewing opportunities for the people and all. So
yeah, 17 will be really nice to be able to see that coming in.
Yeah, because we're sensitive to it. You know, our sponsors are very key and very important to us, and obviously, if we do good, then we're able to do good in the community too and give back. So the sponsor, big part, but we're sensitive to the general spectator. And if you think about it, in years past, you could see the tee shot maybe approach that on 16, but you couldn't see him play in the 16, mm-hmm. and you couldn't see 17, and you couldn't see him tee off on 18. So, and for that general spectator, it's like, hey, I'm here to watch so and so, and where'd he go? So we're able to, we've looked at that and managed something, and that's all being constructed and built right now.
And the second, the upper deck on 17 helps a lot with that too. That should be fun watching.
Yeah, we have a new a second tier on 17, and which will help in all that areas too. So.
Any changes to the course? Obviously, we don't have a lot of land to do anything, and that sort of leads into that question about the technology and golf. Has it just gone too far that these guys are hitting it so far that it changes all the courses, even if it doesn't change this one?
Well, I think it does. And, you know, that's been all that talk and rolling the ball back and all. And again, that's USGA, you know, that's things. And but we realize
that's for duffers like Mark and I, is what you're saying. We want the ball to go as far as possible.
Well, I mean, it's still at the tips is 7,100 yards. And, you know, these guys are playing 7,800 yards of most of these golf courses. So, and we're landlocked. Mm-hmm. What's exciting is Sea Pines is going to be shutting down the golf course in 25. Not for a renovate, it's a restoration. But they're going to, you know, just like anything, just like our houses get old and you need to paint it, and you have, you know, there's things you have to do. They're doing some work, which is exciting, including us in some things just for the sake of infrastructure and all. But it's a commitment that Sea Pines Resort, certainly the Riverstone Group and the Goodwins have to the golf course and the tournament, knowing how important it is.
What's that include? Trees, pathways, drainage, greens, you name it,
irrigation, everything. And it's and the biggest, and they're going to start some this summer, is all the railroad ties, original railroad ties out there, and there's a lot. And so
those are historic railroad ties.
Yeah, so I don't know. So
you might have to auction those off.
Well, there's something. Yeah. So
sign them off or something.
Yeah,
you know?
But they are planning on being able to do one this year. Mm-hmm. You know, sometime in the summer, because it won't affect play. But then once they shut down, they're going to redo all the railroad ties and things. That's old railroad ties.
Sure.
And, you know, that is around your house or whatever too.
Losing the flavor of the course at all, but instead updating it.
No, and that's not updated, because it's not going to go add 400 yards. It's really a restoration of how Pete Dye wanted them to play the golf course, and looking at things. But it's exciting, and you know, we have incredible partners in the resort. A lot of times, people think we're the resort, and the resort people think that, you know, they're us, but we are all in it together too.
So. Because we get a chance to talk about the golf tournament a lot, but you get the behind the scenes kind of things too. I noticed one of the things I was looking at is your friendship with Payne Stewart years ago, who, if people don't know, was a legendary golfer who unfortunately died in a terrible accident up in the plane. But you talked about your friendship there and how you guys sort of had some fun and enjoyed the tournament along with him playing to try to win it too.
Yes, yeah, he was a gotta be careful. I say this, a little bit of a drinking buddy. He used to come in those old Michelob bottles, but he was just a good guy. And right. Everyone thinks of him and his plus fours and his Snickers and all. And yes, that's how he played. But he was a jeans, t-shirt, baseball cap kind of guy. And used to hang out, certainly tribe, going down to Harbor Town with him on many occasions. And it's interesting. It's interesting you brought this up, because I thought about this coming over here today. Is there's three things that I think about around tournament time and being in the tournament that has meant so much to me. And one is, I think of first and foremost Papa Joe Frazier. I mean, he for a lot of reasons and all his hard work, but he also gave me an opportunity that others didn't think I was serving. So he's somebody that really means that. Payne Stewart, somebody else, is that I really look when you think of the golf. And I remember him holing out on number 9, and I forget which round it was or the year. But and then also somebody that's why I feel bad that our mayor's not here. Mr. Perry really meant something to me and to this tournament. And it's those three individuals. Joe Frazier and Payne Stewart and Charles Perry.
Yeah.
Mr. Perry, that really, when you think the tournament, you think the history and the tradition, they're all a big part of that.
That's great you say that. I'm sure Alan will watch this, and he often tells me stories about his dad, or just what it means to him. And no, Mayor's not here, but what it means to him just to be announcing on number 1 to continue that tradition, that legacy, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it really doesn't. It used to... unbeknownst to people, one of those things, Mr. Perry used to always reach out to me once a week about the commit list, because he wanted to know who's committed, because he was doing bio cards and he wanted to know, where they're from and all. And, almost got to a point of, oh my gosh, but I'm like, he is so passionate. He just loves this. And every week he was on my, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday prior to the term, we used to, it's a little different now, we used to get commit lists. So every Monday night, Wednesday night, Friday night, I'd send him a text with the, or an email, text, but
a fax. So, write it down.
So I'd run copies and run it over. But
any of those stories from the early days, whether it's Joe Frazier or something that people may not know about your early days with the Heritage, especially, that are sort of fun or different, maybe the behind the scenes stories.
Oh, geez, it's
the ones you're allowed to tell on the podcast.
Well,
compared to the
other ones. It's just it's unfortunate. I probably didn't. Do a little diary or a book or something too, just knowing the experience of the friendships. And that's what it's about. It's about relationships and building them in the many that I've had, whether it's been some with some of our sponsors and partners. And Coca-Cola is the second, their second longest sponsorship other than the Olympics is our tournament, 56 years. And they've, Dasani was kicked off here. They rebranded Sprite here a few years ago. So this is really important to them as well. And I sit here, and we can talk about RBC, and we can sit with about our presenting sponsor, and they're both incredible. But, you think of all the hotels here in the Westin and Hargrave and Palo Electric, and, we have the Hilton Head Airport, and I can go on and on with these. And then the great thing is how this community works, and thank you for your leadership, too. It's 99.9% of the time, it's yes is the answer, what's the question?
Sure.
Can go back to the rain out days where we've had problems with the parking lots, but how will the community open up? How days it's dry and the town will call, you need a water truck to dry down, wet down the lots. I mean, these things happen. It's me receiving the calls. It's not me making the calls. It's people being proactive, saying, how can we make sure we take care of things?
And then above and beyond that is just their scholarships, the donations back to the nonprofits. I've been at a couple of those events where you're awarding nonprofits and you're awarding scholarships to kids and nonprofits. So because the tournament doesn't stop on the Sunday on the final hole, right?
No.
There's a benefit into the community post-tournament because of everything you're mentioning to date.
Well, and thank you for bringing that up. And there's a couple things. And first and foremost, and how this community is too, we couldn't do it without our volunteers. Right. And this community gives more than anywhere I've ever seen in my entire life. And, if we had to, if we had to give $1 an hour for the time our volunteers put in, we'd give $0 to charity. You know, last year we gave just south of $3 million to charity. And that's why we do what we do. And we continue to do it through the course here. So all these partners out here, you know, help us help you. If we're successful, we're going to be able to give back. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, you know, a great story with that. I'm glad you mentioned, you know, if you remember how our concessions were run, you know, by the civic organizations, was there's still the front of it. There was conversations we were going to go down a path and what we were going to look at and some of these things. But these volunteer organizations looked at us going, you know, we'd rather be out there and make no money than be out there and, you know, and make, you know, or not be out there and make money.
Right.
So now, you know, we've addressed it. We have a local incredible partner in Surge. They're the back of the house. They're incredible professionals. We have these civic groups in the front of the house. They're still supporting. They're winning. Surge is winning. The community's winning. Mm-hmm. The tournament's winning. And, you know, so it's, but that's what we do. And it is a year-round effort.
Well, and the overall numbers are great. Go ahead. I mean, the numbers of money that you've given out to local charities, what it means for, you know, for the tourism also. I mean, $104 million?
It's over, well, yes, it's over $100 million, right. $102 million plus in economic impact the week of the tournament. So you can look at the charity component, which is why we do things, but there is a huge impact. And that's why the state sees it and understands. And, you know, through that period of COVID where, again, the state stepped up, you all stepped up as a town, too. We were able to get through some things and learned about it. Now the state's fully engaged in golf, and they're even more so, as Mark knows, and working with us. But we are doing, every 5 years, we do an economic impact study, and we work with Clemson and USCB on this, mm-hmm. and we'll be doing it again this year.
Oh, is it already so, 5 years?
Yeah. Yeah,
so it was just 19. It moves quickly,
yeah.
Doesn't it,
yeah,
Mark?
Very, so, yes, very much.
But, I mean, we talk about it, that, like you were talking about, the students that get those scholarships, being at those banquets and seeing what that means to them and the opportunity that they have to potentially go to college, even if it's a year or 2 years, whatever you pay for, and to make a difference in the smiles on their faces and the appreciation for what you guys have been able to do.
Well, and thank you. I mean, we have one of the biggest, we have a four-year, it's a four-year scholarship, mm-hmm. for these students. And the unfortunate thing is, you know, of the 80 that apply each year, 81 should have gotten a scholarship. There are some very talented, wonderful people in this community, and it's great for us to see the successes of some of these students. But these scholar winners, and me having been around as long as I have, they come back and they want to figure out ways to be able to support foundation. How can they get involved? How can they help out, knowing that how they got through it, you know, how they were able to.
Well, and enough of the charity events that I do, too, are involved, and you see that 20% that you guys give a lot of times, too, when it's 20% extra on top
extra
of theirs, with the idea that the Classic Foundation wants to give back. They want to give more to those charities in need, too.
Well, and that's, again, that's what we do, and there's, you know, we continue to try to figure out ways to, you know, help as many charities as we can. We're unique in that respect, too. Most PGA Tour events, yes, they help causes, but, you know, FedEx St. Jude's, FedEx, you know, the hospital, incredible St. Jude's, you know, but a lot of them wrap their arms around a charity. You know, we each year are close to 90 to 100 charities that we support in some form or fashion on a year-round basis, not just during the course of, you know, the week of the tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've been around for a while now. We won't get the numbers again because we all feel old when we do that too.
Oh, yeah.
So do you have a favorite moment on the course? If you can pick one out there from your time at the Heritage?
Yeah, and actually it ties a couple things in. I mean, I could tell there are some incredible stories and things, but something happened of a year, Davis Love. It was either his last win. So here's someone that I'm very, have gotten to know well. Well, he wins, he chips in on 18, and he proceeds to he proceeds to do his thing out on 18, and he grabs this kid and asks the kid, do you want to ride with me? And here, hold the trophy. And he goes off and does his thing, goes to the locker room with the kid, and goes into the interview room, did the interview and all these things. And, you know, an hour and a half later, you know, everyone's talking about how great Davis got to share that time with his child. And I'm like, that's my son. It was my son, Charlie. And I remember that for a lot of reasons, because he just kind of said, come on, come on over with me. And then I disappeared for like an hour and a half. But
that's great.
Yeah, so it ties, that connects, you know, I talk about Davis in the first mm-hmm. tournament, and actually another connection, and we got to remember this too. At the end of the day, it's about our health and family and friends. But Davis's birthday is also my dad's birthday.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
April 15th. Wow. So we've always kind of, I knew when Davis's was and things, and he was always, but it just kind of connects things. And then for him to have done that, that's something to remember.
At the end of the day, no matter what we're doing, it's always the relationships you remember, mm-hmm. right?
Well, it makes me think of Stuart Sink winning with his son on the back just a couple years ago, too, and what a moment that was for both of them for that chance.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe talk a little bit about that for me, too, because maybe somebody didn't know. That was an amazing moment to see that.
Yes, and to think that he was somewhat of, you know, checked out and still, you know, end of his career, and for him to go through some of the things, you know, his wife had battled some health issues, mm-hmm. and he took a little bit of a time out, and to have his son on the bag, that again shows that the guys, yes, sometimes you think of they're superheroes, and but they're all also incredible fathers, incredible husbands, right. and you know, everyday people. They just play pretty good golf. You know?
You get to bring your family with you too. I mean, that's part of the fun. I mean, I would say, do you have a moment on the course or off that you remember the most about the Heritage?
Well, one you just mentioned with, you know, your son on the bag and you win, and you're reciting the moments that you grew up here when your kid mm-hmm. was little here. For me, you know, some fun times I've had down there, just seeing friends and whatnot. The time when John Daly was at the quarter deck, and I was out wandering around and seeing John Daly just. But it's not a party story. He was just enjoying mm-hmm. people, and people were just enjoying him. And right, that's the 19th hole right there, as they say. Yeah. One big one for me with my family, you know, Jackie has been at the tournament with me for years. But last year was special because my son, who's now 10, ready to turn 11 in a couple of weeks, he was with me last year for the Sunday, but he was really interested in golf last year. And we ran back and forth from 18 to 17, from 17 to 18, watching the playoff. Mm-hmm. And he was at the picture, you know, late Sunday afternoon, 5-6 o'clock, people have been all there all day, mm-hmm. and they're amped up, ready to, and he was at the front of the line, leading the way, trying to sneak around and take a look at it. And the other day he asked me, he says, Dad, are we going to the tournament again this year? So he's 10. He's already looking forward to it, and it's part of him. It's part of the kids. My daughter's a whole different story. She's 13 and can't wait to figure out what dress she's going to wear and head down there with her friends, right? So already I'm watching that. It's part of our family dynamic.
Yeah, moving day at the Masters is Saturday at the Heritage. I believe it's dress up day is what it is. Yeah. To see what your best outfit is.
Well, it's funny you say that because, you know, a couple things there. It is like a family reunion, mm-hmm. and it's gotten away from the adult spring break. Mm-hmm. But when you have these second and third generations and all, so it really is pretty neat. But one of the things, and if you talk to EMS and all too, is we give out more Band-Aids for blisters because of people wearing their new shoes. It's like, how would you break out a new pair of shoes at a golf tournament? But that's you know, the fun part of it. And you know, a few years back, there was that T-shirt being sold in Harbortown saying, "Who invited these golfers to our party?" kind of thing. So, but no, it's an exciting time. Mm-hmm. We have an exciting 23 days from today.
Too. Is it 23 days?
Yes, I was reminded earlier today.
Dear Siri, how many more days till? Well, I'm glad you mentioned our fire rescue team, Chief Blankenship, and the whole fire rescue team. Everything that goes into the tournament. It's been amazing to me over a few years of time to just see how it all comes together. And you're right, our entire organization supports the tournament, supports you and your team, and nobody does it better than our fire rescue team. So I know they're trying to sneak in a couple naps here and there before the tournament.
Right there
starts.
Between 1 and 9, too. Remember, they'll be right there serving up all the hot dogs and drinks and everything else for you right at the spot. Right. So treat the Firefighters Association well right there between 1 and 9.
A little plug to go see them in their concession stand.
And it is. They're a set of eyes and ears and professionals in an incredible way because they're there to support us and give us safety and things. But they're They help us, you know, they recommendations and suggestions, and you know, we're right. We work very close with the town with obviously permitting and building structures mm-hmm. and all too, so you know, we work together there. But you know, there's the bike,
you know, yeah, crew, sure. Everybody, team out there, everybody, and other things, sheriff's so. Office, yeah. state police. Yeah. I was in the ops center, their emergency ops center, I think it was two years ago, and spent a little time in there. Paying attention to the logistics on how they're just eyes and ears everywhere. So,
and it's interesting you say that, Mark, too. You know, last week, ironically, and your team was there too. We had a safety and security meeting. We had 14 federal agencies mm-hmm. there, and it's the support that's given to us by all these entities, plus from a safety and security side. But it's a win-win in ways too. They're here to show support, assist us in ways, but it's also for them, you know, where they yeah. are awarded time and things too, whether it's FBI or NCIS, I can go mm-hmm. on all of these people that are, but it's a training kind of a ground for them too, so we feel very safe. We do a unique venue because we have water there too, so we work closely with you know, DNR as well as the Coast Guard.
Make some of the great shots of the boats, but you know you're safe out there on yes. the water too while they're that's out in the harbor, so, which yeah. is great. So, well, just turning back to the Gulf to sort of close it out, I mean, Matt Fitzpatrick last year, could you ask for a better story than what that is coming back like he did to win this tournament that means so much?
Yes. It's one of those things that I had some of my counterparts going, you know, damn you, Wilmot, excuse right. my French. He goes, so you have Jordan Spieth lose, and right. you look better than you would have if Jordan won, and never root against anybody. But it was a great story, and we certainly feel bad for Jordan. And Jordan was quick to tell me right after he lost that I'll be back. You know, so, but yes, just knowing that story of him vacationing here and coming here, and you saw and people know about his, you know, the Harbortown head cover that mm-hmm. he uses, and it's interesting a story about that because it was his first PGA Tour event. He won the U.S. Amateur, which exempted him into the Masters, so that was his first tournament. Then he turned pro here, and we had given him an exemption. So his ball mark is a Harbortown poker chip. His head cover, and that's kind of the story behind it. But a funny, not funny story, it's kind of unfortunate, but his golf clubs about 5-6 years ago were stolen. So he, of all things, unbeknownst to me, reaches out to me and going, if you can get another head cover. I called John Farrell up. I said, John, Matt Fitzpatrick is wanting another head cover. We sent him a driver head cover, a three head cover, a putter head cover. We gave him ball chips. We gave him it cost us more to ship it than to buy it. But you know what? It's like, if he wants his stuff, well, yeah. So
that's
great. Yeah, so he'll be back, and he's excited, and saw him recently too, and he's talking about the cannon and wanted to make sure he's got his ears going oh, yeah. and all too. So, which is a unique tradition yeah. On the PGA Tour. The
players really that opening ceremony that. Really it yeah. literally yeah. kicks it off with a bang, but it's really that special moment for them with the driver, with the tee shot, and the cannon.
Yeah, and the history and the tradition, mm-hmm, and that's a part of why we're a signature event. It's history, it's tradition, it's community. You know, they wanted to be here, the PGA mm-hmm. Tour and all, and, but that is unique on the PGA Tour of having an opening ceremony. You might have somebody hit a shot off the first tee or something, but this is completely different but special as well.
So I know you'll be rolling out a lot of the players and have already. Anybody you want to tell us? I mean, Jordan's coming, you said. Obviously, Matt's coming. Anybody else that looks like we're in there that you want to talk about or can talk about?
It's a combination of it's how they commit and all. I don't want to get ahead of myself with them, some things, but I can tell you that we are, you know, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. We had, you know, they work with us with the breakfast, but also the church service on Sunday morning, and Scotty Scheffler's caddy's doing the church service.
Well, that may say something. So
but we also have there's a
even I can figure that one out.
Yeah. So, but there's a little sensitivity. I don't want to some of these guys, the reason they don't commit because of certain things right now, and it's all great. We're gonna have a field about 74, 76 players still.
You're going to see a lot of those guys who won already on the tournament, and maybe a few of those Ryder Cup guys who might show up as well, too. So you're going to have it's an incredible field that you're going to get again this year.
Absolutely. And I've shared recently, too, and what's interesting is you look at our sponsor exemption list, and what made me think of it, he said, who would need exemptions to play, but two of them are Luke
Luke Donald, and as well as Zach Johnson. So you have two Ryder Cups. But you also have Kevin Kisner, Webb Simpson, Matt Kuchar, Adam Scott, Shane Lowry, JT, Justin Thomas, Camille Vijegas, Stuart Sink. All these guys need exemptions to play in the tournament. So it's that goes to show you how strong the field is. Yeah. And but it certainly has changed a little bit, but it's all good for us.
Well, Steve can't root for anybody, obviously. Anybody out there that's your favorite that you're going to be rooting for out on that course?
No, I don't have a favorite. No? I don't have a favorite. So I'm just excited to go watch some golf, have some fun.
I know you can't say it. We can't let you do that. So, you know. Well, we already heard some of your favorites that used to play here, certainly. But now it really is a star-studded field kind of thing. There are a few tickets still available for certain days.
Yes, really. Wednesday, we look at competition being Thursday through Sunday. And, one thing that is interesting is, we are a no-cut event this year. So, for whatever reason, you're there to see so-and-so on Thursday, Friday, you can assure they'll be there Saturday, Sunday. And it's different. Mm-hmm. It's different than a couple of events, too. But whomever you're a fan of, they'll be there all 4 days. And so,
RBCHeritage.com, correct?
Yes.
For tickets?
RBCHeritage.com. And you can see there, and you can see what's available and what's not. And, and the reason they're not available is because all the support of this community and our partners and our the spectators, and it's going to be an incredible week.